gentlemen, thank you for joining us for tonight's Comic Book Club. And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Allen!
Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am old Pete.
That's our man in the booth, Booth Man. And thank you guys so much for coming out on this St. Patrick's Day.
Exactly.
Irish.
Yeah.
You're not. Are you Irish? LePage. That sounds French.
Come on. Little Irish.
You called yourself old Pete. That's not how Irish names work.
Sure. Speaking of which, actually, what is everybody's favorite Irish comic book character?
Oh, interesting.
The Riddler.
The what?
The Riddler?
The Riddler.
Why? I don't know if he's Irish.
Yeah, he is.
An Enigma is his name.
Yeah, no, it's straight out of Ireland. Potatoes, question marks, all came out of Ireland.
Question marks?
Yeah, it's like a thing. Kiss me if you're Irish?
Yeah, yeah. Well, before the Irish invented question marks, everyone was just making statements. Everyone knew everything.
Yeah. That explains the troubles.
Wow.
No, too soon.
Yeah. Too soon.
Too soon. Too soon. Literally
too close
too soon.
To the famine.
Oh. Yeah, sorry, guys. Well, I'm sorry, guys. By the end of the show, we will cure the potato famine, so don't worry. But we have two amazing jokes. We have two amazing jokes.
Wow. Insulting.
Just two.
Insulting. Oh, boy. More
This is going to be a good show, you guys. We have two great guests for you. I'm very excited to have them here, so let's welcome them out. Ladies and gentlemen, Kumail Nanjiani and FJ DeSanto! So much for coming out on the show.
It's rocking.
I like the sound.
All right, thanks for coming. thank you guys so much for being here. Kumail, since you're sitting close to me, let's chat with you first.
Yes.
So you are on a show called Game Brothers Live. Yes. We were talking about this a little bit at the end of last week's show.
That's true.
Preview.
We were teeing it up. Oh, okay. Got to bring the audience
and
back.
Game Brothers Live is a live talk show about video games.
That's right, yeah.
Huh. Where did you get that idea?
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying.
This is the part of the show we call the ambush.
Every week you bring up someone in ambush, I'm pretty good. I was 8 years old when I thought of it. No. So you guys don't. No, I just, you know, I really like video games, and I was like, oh, there should be a way that we should be able to do a live show because so many people love video games. There's no real entertainment based on video games. You know, there's no, like, funny comic book, I mean, video game stuff. So I figured, let's try it out. You know?
Well, why do you think video games are better than comic books?
Yeah, because I control them.
I don't.
Them.
I'm setting them up.
Oh, God. It is an
I know a few people will bum rush you.
Seriously.
Oh, God. Okay.
I think comic books are much better, but your show is already taken. So.
Nice!
As a video game fan, do you have any comic books that you read when you were a kid or anything that you...
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not a complete... Like, I like, you know, I like Watchmen.
Convenient.
I like the old stuff, you know, like The Spirit. I like that.
Also convenient, though.
Elektra, that was great. Wasn't that a thing? Iron Man?
It doesn't sound natural coming out of your mouth.
Iron Man? No. I mean, a few years ago, I went through like a one-year-long phase where I read all the Sandman, I read a bunch of Alan Moore, and I read, V for Vendetta, and Fables. Preacher? I read all the Preacher.
What?
I'm kidding. No, I thought it was great. But, you know, when I was a kid, I grew up in Pakistan. There we go.
You should know most of our crowd hates
and video games. Yeah, you can tell by the sharp intake of breath.
Yeah, I heard guns being thrown. So I used to read comic books as a kid, but you know, we just would get random ones. I'd have like one issue of Batman and the Outsiders, and like you know, whatever. Oh, there was this guy, my favorite. Man Bat?
Yeah.
So he's like an established guy, okay. Because I was like, who the fuck is this guy? Find out more about him. And he deserves the name Batman more than Batman does, right? Because
yeah.
he's actually...
Half bat, half man.
He's half bat, half man. Well, Batman just wears an outfit, but... so I thought...
He does,
so
I mean, he does other stuff.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's not just wearing
a utility belt.
Yeah.
There's a couple of issues, to be fair, where
I'm
he's just
pitch
wearing
that.
Yeah.
Man Bat? Man Bat should be like
but
a major character. Yeah. Switch his name, yeah.
They're working.
Switch his name, nice.
And 70 years later.
Big retcon.
That was some year you had.
Well, cool. FJ, let's talk to you. So you are the producer, among other things, of a lot of comic books to movies.
That's what they tell me.
Yes. So among other things, you worked on The Spirit. You're working on The Shadow upcoming.
Right.
Why? A lot of these certainly seem to be more classic comic books. What draws you to that in particular?
I just love them. I mean, that's a simple answer. I can't be funny like him. but you know, it's just a combination of what's out there and what you think could be great in the marketplace, and you know, fortunate enough to be a part of those. That's really good. I feel like in an improv theater, you need to be funny.
No, we don't. We don't take a suggestion.
That's kind of cool. I'm less convenient than he is, though. But no, I'm just drawn to anything that I think is good, and trying to be as respectful as you can to making these things into movies.
I mean, just to put it out there, there was certainly a lot of criticism, especially from fans, with The Spirit, because it took a very different...
Who said that?
This guy's been tut-tutting all
He's
night,
though. For me. We're going to throw it
down. I'll meet you downstairs.
Don't make that face.
How do you deal with the reaction to that? How do you feel it went differently?
My
from
therapist,
the
James,
not?
Is here.
he knows how.
No, yeah. Look, there's only... we're going to fight.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
I don't have the problems with the movie that a lot of people do. I feel like with The Spirit, I think you're in a position where it was done within a certain time frame that nobody here grew up with it, nobody lived with it. It's not like Watchmen, so they're not used to different interpretations where you have like Batman with 75 years of this. You can take... If you're going to do Batman Begins, you could take the Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams Batman, you could throw in a little bit of this, et cetera. And I think the movie gets a bum rap because of that, because it's the first time, really, when you think about it, somebody else filtering that character through their own artistic vision. So I have, you know, look, nothing's ever perfect, but I stand by the movie, and I'm a fan of it, and we can fight after.
I feel like you got a bum rap because of comparisons to Sin City more than people.
Well, that's the other thing is you're sitting there sort of going, you know, you want to do a green screen. I think when you look at the movie, it's a beautiful movie, you know, and I'm sort of hoping that when it comes out on DVD next month, that people will be a little more kinder to it.
It's already coming out on DVD?
Yeah, in April.
Oh,
and
slam secret.
I know.
No.
I sort of like
already DVD. No.
Oh, your movie.
That Hollywood movie.
But
you
I
made.
Think, you know, having gone through the process, I spent a lot of years on that movie, even before Frank was involved with the movie. And, you know, I think there was an intention there that I think translates. And I think you're also dealing with a movie and trying to promote it to an audience that no one has a modern context of. Even with Watchmen, which was shooting at the same time as us, is everybody here knows Watchmen in a modern context, even though it was, you know, done... whatever, in the 80s, you know, and it's this masterpiece, it's...
Your therapist is here.
Yeah, I know. That's my bandmate, actually. And,
wow, cool!
No, it's true. And but nobody has a modern context for it, so you can't sit there and relate to it. So the problem is, then you're drawn to Sin City, and you're not having this bloody massacre, blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I feel like to a degree, you're in a no-win situation, and as much as I claim to be a fanboy, I think the fanboys cut the movie off at the knees before really giving it a chance.
Yeah. And you're writing The Spirit upcoming for DC, right?
Yeah, no, the first issue I have now, and then there's two more that I co-wrote as a three-issue arc, which sort of goes into the backstory of the femme fatales of The Spirit, which is fun because when you really look back at the history of the book, Will never really went into, oh, where did this character come from, or what, you know, some of these classic characters, he did one story, you know, or two stories, and you have plenty of room. It's not like, again, to make a Batman comparison, Catwoman, the Joker, you got 75 years of all these people trying different things. So, the first issue sold really well in total, so I'm hoping to do more.
Cool. Do you think there is something that you drew from the movie or left behind from the movie? Obviously, they're very different media, but to take to the comic book from your perspective?
I think for the current comic book run, it was a combination of Darwin had done the first 12 issues, and they were perfect.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody can argue that those are perfect. So you've got to sort of first, the first thing we do is sort of look at it in this context of what did Darwin do in these 12 issues? And you want to be respectful for that, of that, and figure out a way to continue that on. So we sat there, went through the Darwin issues, and went, oh, you know, I just simply remember being sort of at DC and going, you know, they never explained, we'll never explain where Silk and Floss came from. And it was just, oh, okay. You know, the editor was like, great, do something like that. And then it sort of, you know, okay, then we'll do Plaster, then we'll do Lorelei. And it was sort of daunting but fun at the same time, because if you know the movie, which few do supposedly, you can get something out of the book and vice versa, that we're able to sort of pepper it a little bit with stuff in the movie without sort of saying the Darwin stuff never happened. And that was sort of the real, I mean, I had a lot of fun with it because I thought there was a real attempt, because I thought sort of the run before us, and it's not a knock on those guys, were a little too goofy and a little too this way. And it was just like, we were lucky in that Joey at DC, Joey Calvieri, got Justiano and Wong to be the artists on it. And they were very contemporary, very modern, and we were determined to sort of, you know, I distinctly remember 5, 6, 7 years ago, Will Eisner being at his last Comic-Con, we were talking about the movie, sort of, he would never get pissed off about anything with the movie and sort of was always like, do it, I don't give a shit, do whatever you want, you know, do it, I don't care. But his only concern was, and we were sort of legally bound, because you never saw the Spirit with a gun, okay? You never saw him do drugs or drink, and you never saw him engage in any sort of sexual act beyond him making out with girls. So, okay, that's easy. And but the other thing he came to you and said was, I never did this book as a period piece. And that was a big problem, I think, for people understanding the movie, was it was never meant to be a period piece. It was supposed to, you know, so when we did the comics, so the next issue, which will come out, I think, next month, is you've got in the sort of Spirit's headquarters, and I'm spoiling this a little bit, you have him and Ebony playing Wii. You know, Spirit doesn't know how to do it. You know, it's like, if you have a fighting game, I can do it. And Ebony's like, no, we're going to play guitar. And so you're trying to put those modern spins on it, but still making it whimsical and fun. And it doesn't, you know, bring to the story, it doesn't insult the character. You know, sort of, I think the one thing people have reacted strongly to, at least just based on the first issue, was, yeah, this was a smart way to make a modern Spirit without messing around with the history.
Cool.
Sorry, I totally rambled.
No.
That's
a
joy.
No.
That's
good. Oh. We forgive you.
Come on. Speaks
for everyone, Trey.
Before we move on, very briefly, talking about the Shadow movies, there's been a lot of rumors going around about what they are, multiple movies, multiple shadows, various
things. I think there's a lot of misquoted, I think there's a lot of bullshit with that. And, I mean, that's a nice way to say it. I think the basic gist is, look.
Yeah, run us through the movie.
I'm going to take you through the movie, beginning, middle, and end.
Great.
No.
We're not bullshitters here.
Yeah, no. As long as it stays here. No, I think the idea is, if you go back to the original pulps, which for many years I've had to go through, is you were never certain who the Shadow was. He could be Kent Allard. He could be Lamont Prince. He could be Bulma. And that's the approach to the movie, is what you don't want to do is, because there's so many at this point, comic book and hero movies, where it's this guy becomes this. And what you want to do is sort of do a movie where it starts off, the Shadow exists, and I want to, at least the way we've approached it, you know, and again, I say this now, and then a year or two from then the movie gets made, it's a totally different movie, is you want to be able to, where you two go to the movie, and you think Ken Allen's the Shadow, and you think Lamont Cranston's the Shadow, and you have legitimate reasons as to why. And you're satisfied with the movie, and you sort of go through that. And that's what the Pulps did. And you want to do this sort of edgy, you know, action thing where you don't want to soften it, you don't want to make it goofy, you don't want John Lone going, where'd you get that suit? You know, like they did in the Alec Baldwin movies, you know. You don't want to insult him. I know, look, you're upset.
So you're not following up on the continuity of the Alec Baldwin?
Oh, it's totally, it's all right. We're actually bringing Alec Baldwin back.
Oh, yeah. I thought it would be Steven. I thought you were going Steven on this.
Billy. We're getting Billy.
Billy, wow.
Billy.
Oh, wow. The Lost Baldwin.
Discount.
But again, it's early in the movie. You know, we're on the script. It's Sony's really behind it and really supportive of trying to make a great franchise out of it. So we've been sort of fortunate in that regard, working with Sam Raimi and his guys to sort of do that. And it's amazing. It's amazing. So there's certainly a way you have working with Raimi, working on this project, and trying to do it right. So we'll, you know, we'll see how it pans out.
How much of it's going to be a musical dance number?
It's all. That's why the bandmates here.
Scoring them.
We're going to be recording songs for it in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, we're singing. Follow my nose.
All right, let's move on to the first section, which we like to call the stack. First thing we're going to talk about today is Batman: Battle for the Cowl. Number one, finally, the battle for the cowl is on.
Oh, I know this
is it is cowl. Such a difficult word to say.
Cowl?
Really?
Cowl.
Cowl.
Cowl. I can say owl and I can say cow, but I can't say cowl.
That's weird.
That's haunting. really take that home with you guys.
That's my review.
Here's the thing with the book, is if I learned one thing from it, then obviously, you put Nightwing on the cover. I'm really excited. The problem, the thing is, it's very dense, and the question is if Tony Daniel can do it in 3 issues.
Yeah.
And the question is he trying to tell a good story? Is he trying to? They already know. Okay, it's going to be, you know, Grant's doing this book. So and so's doing this book. This Red Robin book. Can you, you know? Is he being forced to sort of lay that all out before they go? If there's one thing I learned, and I'm a huge Grant Morrison fan. But if I learned anything, Tony Daniel draws best when he's writing.
Mm-hmm. His art is better here than his
art. It's so much better here. And the storytelling is great. The question is, it's going to be one of those things where you can't judge it until you have 3 issues in.
For those of you who don't know, spoiler, Batman is kind of dead, maybe not dead.
He's in a cave or something.
Yeah, he's hanging out
in
an old guy in a cave.
With dinosaurs.
Wait, is this Lost? What's going on?
We're lost.
Batman is lost.
Yeah,
that's what's going on right now.
It really is. I gotta get a new comic book.
You can keep that.
Because of that, they're shining the bat signal over Gotham City, and after about 5 minutes, all the criminals realize that Batman is gone, and so go batshit and start destroying the city.
Yeah.
Which for me is my main problem is I have never bought the idea that like people are like, oh, Batman's gone, let's go crazy.
Yeah.
There's so many heroes there. It's like, okay, great. Batman's gone, but there's 34 other guys who are going to kick the shit.
Yeah,
right.
He's just one guy.
Right.
Well, they're trying to make
Man Bat was there.
Man Bat. That guy can fly.
He would handle all that crap.
They're trying to make the point that that like something Batman's extra special.
So
like he can encompass. They were just here for our roundup. Somehow Batman is able to do everything at once, and these guys are like, God, we're not detectives. We're just punching, or like, we're just punching. We're not, and it doesn't make sense. They're gonna lie.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like this is marking time until Grant Morrison comes back to the title. Is essentially what I feel like.
Yeah, but they're putting Jed Winnick on it, so it's like,
oh, Jesus.
Oh man,
yeah, who said on Jesus?
Hey.
But
you like it?
I like Jed Winnick. I think like 50% of everything he does is really good. 1 out of 2 ain't bad.
That's not even Meatloaf didn't even go bad. At least it was 2 out of 3.
1 out of 2 ain't bad.
That's for the shadow.
I want to know what that 50% is.
Would you say pick it up?
I mean, it is going to establish what's going on, but it's so obvious in the way it's like, man, who is this guy dressed up like Batman that we don't know?
They don't mention Jason Todd at all in the book, who was the second Robin who's dead and crazy and shoot people. They're like, I don't know, he's dressed as Batman. He knows where the Batcave is and he has guns.
And he's crazy and he's shooting people.
Who could that be? And that's literally what happens in the book. It's like, jeez, I'm ahead of this already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's upset, especially the part where everybody's like, where's Batman? And then Jason Todd's leaving all these notes like, I'm Batman. I'm here, I got this, I'm Batman. People are like, well, Batman's not here. And he's like, no, seriously, I tied up all these bad guys.
Yeah.
Can I ask you guys a geek question?
No, not on this show.
That's what I asked one of these guys the other day. How did Damien get there? Like in the current version?
Yeah, I read this outside just now. And I was like, I did. And I was
can
like,
you explain that to me?
Well, Rachel,
the car, how'd that happen?
Ra's al Ghul's daughter.
No, I know how he got
there.
I know.
Well, they loved each other.
Batman installed his sperm in every giant.
My mom and dad are here.
You don't know.
I don't want to ruin it. They probably know.
Spoiler.
We'll explain Damien to you.
Anyway. That's my biggest problem. The characters don't feel consistent at all. Damien,
no, because they made Dick a dick.
Yeah, yeah. It's just across the board, it doesn't really make sense to me. It's fine as an issue, but I don't feel like there's a reason to pick it up.
Yeah,
well, gotta wait for the other issues.
Yeah, cool. All right, let's move on. Talk about X-Men Manifest Destiny Nightcrawler number one of one. Published by Marvel Comics. What else can I say about this?
I don't know. You haven't said much yet.
Yeah.
Wow, you don't want to talk about this?
This is really tough because we're friends with the guy who wrote this issue.
Oh, that's bullshit.
What? And to be fair, we're not that good friends, and the book is bad.
Well, it's not. No, it's not. I mean, I can understand why you think it's bad, but
poorly written.
But your argument is.
But my argument is the fact that, like, there was the people, like, having Mephisto in there was awful, but it was just, like, seeing a little bit of the torment because they have been establishing that, you know, Nightcrawler is getting older, he's not as fast as the young kid, and you kind of deal with a little bit of the feelings of, like, hey, maybe I should hang him up. Maybe I should, you know, quit.
Nightcrawler goes back to his hometown because they open up a Nightcrawler museum, even though they previously drove him out of his hometown. And then he fights a demon who people hate because he looks like a demon, which holds up a reflection to Nightcrawler and whatever.
When you say it like that, it doesn't sound good. Cool.
Yeah, I don't think
correct.
Nightcrawler's one of these characters that has become this catch-all where it's like, let's make him a swashbuckler. Now he's a priest. Now he's a pedophile. Now he's this. Like, they keep changing all
pedophile.
The different things.
Pedophile? That was a pedophile story? Like?
One shot. It happened.
Okay.
Largely ignored.
Can we review that?
Yeah, Nightcrawler, demonic pedophile.
He looks like Hellboy here, this guy.
Yeah. It's derivative. here's the thing about James. I feel like he's done three stories for Marvel at this point, right? And one of them was good.
One out of three ain't bad?
One out of three.
And your percentage is sinking.
It's how I feel about this show.
Oh.
Oh, wait, what is that?
One out of three ain't bad.
What a dick.
How do you respond to that? How do you respond to that?
You know,
dick is being that dick. Side of the room.
He's talking about you, too.
you guys, all right.
I see how it works.
Yeah.
Would you say pick this up?
No, terrible.
Pete?
I might say borrow it from a friend.
Not James, though.
He is no longer our friend, so there you go. Action Comics 875, giving a new direction for the Superman title because Superman is not in it anymore.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think about this? We finally find out who Flamebird and Nightwing are.
Yeah, I sure missed Superman in this. It's a bunch of other people doing Superman-like stuff, and I don't care as much, I found out.
Would you care more if it wasn't Action Comics?
Yes.
Yeah. I like the story, but I just thought, why is this an Action Comics?
I agree. I mean, for those of you who aren't familiar with what they're doing right now, is Superman has left Earth, so the main titles, Action Comics and Superman, have been taken over by other characters. And I think this is Greg Rucka taking it over.
Yeah.
He's a very solid writer, does a good job, it's a good story. But I agree with you, it's weird to have it in here.
Well, see, what I think they did is they pulled a little switcheroo because people are going to follow Superman over to this new title. And they're like, The World of Krypton, written by Jeff Johns. And everyone else here is going to be like, oh, I usually buy this. wait a second, where's Superman? But then maybe they'll keep buying because it's a decent story. And it actually is a good story, and I like the way they went with the characters. They didn't just choose assholes.
Is that Space Batman? Who's that?
it's even more confusing. His name is Nightwing.
Nightwing.
Oh, okay.
But he's not,
but it's
the
not
same
the Nightwing from Battle for the Cowboys.
Oh, for a second I was like, okay, I got this. He's the other reason that the not Nightwing comic book in, but it's a different
Nightwing.
No, it's
Nightwing. Entirely
yeah.
Different.
Yeah. Good.
He flies.
This is fun having you on the show.
Yeah. I think you should pick it up, though.
Yeah, it's a good read.
No, definitely don't.
Really? You've given no arguments as to why not.
Well, yes. I think he touched the... When Captain America left Captain America, I didn't miss him because the story was so rich and I was still involved with the world. I feel like once Superman left, there wasn't a buildup of other characters around. It was just like, hey, these two random people who we don't know about, we're going to get to know later on. I just, as a...
It's
first,
abrupt. It's abrupt.
Yeah, yeah. For a first issue for
like
the Superman leaving, I need a little bit, you know...
They should have built to it. That's why I asked you before, you know, you deal with it and action comes. I think as a mini-series or if they had done an anthology series or something like that that featured them, you'd be less harsh on the story. Because I think it's actually really solid and sets up, you know, they've got to go track down.
Yeah, I like that part.
It's cool.
I don't know the specifics, but I can relate to what you said because I was a big X-Files fan. And then Mulder and Scully left, and they were replaced by T-1000, and that can read minds. And I had the same thing. I was like, why would I watch X-Files if Mulder isn't there?
We bring this up, like, every week on the show.
Yeah, it's weird. It's weird. Usually later than this.
cool. Let's move on to talk about Captain Britain and the MI-13.
Yeah. Great book.
Great book. It's too bad that it's canceled.
What? Is it now? We've announced that it's canceled four times.
Here's the thing. We, on our web show, we actually, you said, right?
Let's point fingers.
What? I'm sorry. I said that Captain Britain was canceled. And people got very upset about us saying that because they loved the title. Turns out it was not canceled, but it probably still is.
Well, the thing is, whatever the rumors are, it's not selling well, but it's a great book.
It is. It's a fantastic book.
Does that break your heart a little bit?
Yeah. People are buying the stupid Space Batman.
It's true. And this is, the characters are really well done, and there's a lot of subplots.
Here's
happening.
The thing, and I normally get pretty embarrassed to take ridiculous comic book plots, but it totally works here. Dracula, who lives on the moon, is sending his vampire missiles to attack.
Wait, they're missiles that suck.
No.
I feel like you're getting a bad impression of comic
books. No, Batman is lost in the cave of time,
Right, yeah. What I like about the vampire missiles is
what
that
are they?
He just throws them into space and they fly to Earth.
They're
there's
vampires,
no there's
he
no casing.
Oh, they're oh I thought okay. So
they're just like vampires, like flying through space and then they land on Earth.
So what
oh,
do they
wow.
do? What do they do when they get here?
Suck
they,
blood.
They suck.
And this is good.
It's great.
Yeah.
They don't
need
to breathe.
Leonard Kirk's
not brilliant. In space because they're dead.
They're dead.
Oh and they
God.
Probably get...
They thought of everything.
It's airtight. The science is all there. The science is all there.
In a vacuum.
Yeah. Huh?
Right.
You know
what
John
Byrne there.
Did Captain Britain and... Captain America?
Excalibur.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it's actually
didn't cool. Alan Moore do a Captain whatever this
Captain
was?
Captain Britain.
Yeah,
way back.
Okay, yeah, that's what I read.
This is great. This is an excellent series, and it does take these ridiculous comic book ideas and makes them fun and ridiculous, but also grounds them at the same time in the characters, which is so cool. Everybody should pick this up and make sure it doesn't actually get canceled.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless it already is canceled.
Unless you canceled it.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, me.
Cool. That was a friendly finger point. I'm sorry, everybody. All right, let's move on to talk about Rebels number 2, which I think Pete and I at least pretty much trashed last issue. Pete, what do you think about this one?
Well, what's nice is the first issue I felt like, even though it was the first issue, I felt like I was missing so much. I couldn't quite catch up to all the things that were happening and kind of wrap my mind around it. Wow.
Right. What around it?
Yeah.
Get something.
Beer. But the issue 2 kind of slowed it down a little bit, and really set up the characters, and you got to actually figure out a little bit more of what was happening. I'm on board now. I can't wait for 3.
I totally agree. I really enjoyed this issue a lot, and it actually makes me reevaluate the first issue a little bit, honestly, in terms of I had no idea what was going on. Now I have a better idea of what was going on in the first issue. Basically, you have Brainiac 2 from Legion.
I dare you to try to explain this.
Okay.
You can't explain it, but it's good. I mean, Bedard, you know, Bedard's an old school writer. He's going to sit there, he's going to pace it out, he's going to make it worth your while. I mean, if you read his sci-fi stuff like Negation, all these other books, they're great. Thank you.
That's a ghost. There's a ghost concert.
There's a Negation in the house. I love that when I tell him. And I didn't hate the first issue. I liked the whole idea of incorporating Supergirl into it and all that stuff. But I think I have a feeling that when a trade paperback of that book comes out, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
That's my gut. And to me, we live in this sort of age where you're spending $2.99, $3.99 for this book, unless you get a discount. And that was just for you.
Oh, cool.
And,
yeah.
But the thing is, we're back to writing where you've got to invest in it, as opposed to trying to get them out the gate, you know, with the first 2 issues. And I think he's got a bigger story there to be told, and I think he's going to do it.
He's going to do it.
Great. How did you feel about it? You like the first
issue. I like it a lot. I like the Legion, and this is kind of the Legion, again, a new way of looking at it, from the current Legion. And this went back to all the different incarnations back in, like, the 90s of Legionnaires, Legion, all that. But, yeah, I loved all that, so I love this as well.
Yeah, it's great. And the art is excellent as well.
Yeah, very
yeah.
good.
Yeah, really, really good.
I hope they get behind that book, because I think it's got potential with it.
Were you going to ask?
Oh, one of my first questions I remember was Supergirl from the Supergirl movie. That's all. That's all.
Correct.
It just took me back. Do you remember the Supergirl movie? There was a Supergirl movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have tried watching.
Listen,
Supergirl.
I'm not defending the plotting. I just thought she was attractive.
Okay.
One of those movies you can watch on silent. Yeah. Astonishing Tales number 2, which is an anthology series, another uber popular thing that sells a lot of copies. This is great, though. I really enjoyed this. It is really hard, I think, to launch an anthology series because it has nobody invested in it. It's just a bunch of tales. But there's at least 2 things in here that are a lot of fun. There's a story about...
2 out of 3?
2 out of 4.
2 out of 4.
Okay. Which is 1 out of 2. Ain't bad.
Look at his math. This guy's he's reducing fractions live on stage.
I'm basically like Ray Bat, but for comics.
Yeah, true.
That
was his last breath.
He just died. There's a MODOK story in here that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
MODOK visits diner. There's another one at the end.
Sounds great.
I'm going to stop selling stuff, you guys.
The MODOK story is just hysterical. It's a lot of fun where MODOK goes to a diner and gets really angry. I mean, that's right there. I mean,
good, yeah.
Done.
He added the anger part.
Can you add to that?
MODOK goes to a diner. And the diner is themed on superheroes. And he goes in there and he's like, oh, the Hulk's on the roof. Oh, the waitress is Spider-Man. Where am I? And he looks, and the sugar dispenser is MODOK. He's like, fuck this. And then he blows everything.
Yeah! Greatest story ever told.
Now I don't have to buy it.
No,
you should.
The art's amazing. Gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. I read this back there, too. And I was asking him, I thought his name, because the D looks like an O, I thought his name was Mook.
This is good.
Mook. He's at a diner. Mook. Oh, wait, that's like a bad word, isn't it?
Doesn't that mean something bad?
It's like a dumb,
bad.
Tough guy.
Yeah, it's a big
dumb
guy.
Oh, that's fine. Okay.
Yeah. Pizza Mook.
I'm Ragoon.
Sorry.
But yeah, also the Mojo story in here is fantastic.
What about that you didn't like the Wolverine Punisher?
Yes, I mean, that goes without being said. I think that's, you know, but it does.
Yeah, and yet you should probably, I guess, say it.
Yeah. It's actually a bad story.
It's a good, what you were saying before, it's a good value for your money. You're paying a lot.
There's not enough anthology books. There should be more.
I love anthologies.
No, but that's the problem, though, because a lot of times I feel with anthology, you're not going to like enough of the story to feel like it was worth your money. A lot of the times when I pick up an anthology, it'll be a couple in there, I'll be like, well, what the fuck? And
because they're not doing it right. Like they did Adventure Comics 20 years ago, JSA and Aquaman, and all these characters you never invest in a, you know, ongoing title in. So, what, like what DC, Sierra?
No, he falls asleep.
You can see that in pants on. Yeah. And what DC is doing now with the backup things, they're going to do a Beetle, they're going to do this, they should be doing, you know, a $2 anthology book.
See, the thing is, people don't, the anthologies, it doesn't seem like it matters in continuity.
Right.
And so people don't
even make it matter. You got to get a good writer to do it.
And have something crazy.
Who's ever doing these Blue Beetle backups and all that stuff, is that eating into the $3.99 I'm spending on a book? Where I'd rather spend the $2 on an anthology, like Adventure Comics, where they killed Earth 2 Batman and all this crap back in the day.
Holy
that
shit.
Made me want to buy it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So,
I have
no one knows
about
that.
Yes.
Okay.
About this.
That was an all-star.
What?
That was an all-star comics.
You sure?
Slam.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to.
He wrote it. We're going to have a conversation.
There's two people not each question.
I know, I got a lot of
this is my question. So you gave me some of these back there to read, and I read this one with this character. His name's Mojo.
Yeah!
And I was like, so what's the deal? And you literally said, oh, he's like a guy who's king of a planet, but he's really into pop culture.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So he's like a big pop culture guy who's into movies.
He's
but
like
he,
an even fatter Michael Musto.
Okay. And he's
ooh.
Really... but. But he's
not that fat.
Really? No, I know, but that's he's like fatter.
He's like
is that fair.
He's also like a fatter you.
Oh. No, but I don't criticize pop culture. Read the village voice.
This is my question: was that he was like this big ruler who was big into movies and pop culture, and then I was like, is he like a joke character? And you were like, no, he's a serious character. So what storyline is Mojo in where he's like a real threat? Like,
actually,
oh no, it's gonna
a
be
lot
good.
Of times he kidnaps superheroes, usually X-Men or mutants.
Yeah, and he does like horrible things, like make tiny baby versions of them. It's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. Usually he kidnaps them and he puts
but
isn't
baby versions of superheroes good because now they'll grow up and they'll be also superheroes? Isn't he creating problems for himself?
That's a real hole in his plan that no writer has yet explored.
Actually, the monkey version.
Like ex-teenagers.
Yes.
The monkey
yes.
version.
Zombie
is
bad.
But then is there also the real version plus the zombie or does he make
they
Batman
team up,
into
the baby
monkey?
Version and then they go, oh, cool.
This is like a comic book laboratory.
Just throw shit in.
You sure it was All Star Comics?
I had the entire series.
But no, but then it went into Adventure Comics where they killed Ben.
That was in 1979.
We're going to talk.
So you're talking right now.
Stop, I'm interrupting the show.
Thank you for caring. I appreciate it.
I feel like we're interrupting your conversation.
I was just bothering the shit out of you.
So in conclusion, yes, Mojo is a very serious character.
Yeah.
Let's move on to talk about, very briefly, The Amazon number one by Stephen T. Siegel.
They don't look feminine to you on this cover?
They do.
I mean, I wouldn't buy that. The Punisher just looks like, I just went shopping.
I would love a story about the Punisher, like, being feminine.
But on
yeah,
the cover,
going shopping,
you
have
a
skull t-shirt.
You take the cover.
Like, I just got this at H&M. This
could you take
great.
Me back one slide?
Look at that.
He's got an Uzi.
Look at
his legs.
I'm not
yeah.
saying that to be a jerk. I'm saying that because that's not the Punisher. That's like some guy...
Yeah,
just went to H&M.
If you took about the Bone Dragon, that could be a page from the J. Crew catalog.
Freaking Melrose.
To be
what are you talking about?
To be fair, the story that they're in is called "Girls Just Want to Have Fun."
Well, but look at Wolverine. He's like, check out my jeans. I went to Diesel.
They do fit really well.
Yes.
The Punisher's got the front shot going on.
This is a good thing.
Can we move on, please?
Pretty poking holes in Pete's leg.
He's
not that poking. Yo, why does he have his holster attacher so close to his crotch?
Hello.
That's what he keeps his
guys,
gun.
Guys, we're talking about
now.
Now
we're
going to
read
those.
You
Bone Dragon, hello. Yeah, there are two Bone Dragons. I know what I'm saying.
The episode is great. Pick it up. The star. It's your audience questions.
Oh,
and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Bag.
Booth Bag! We should say that Tim Sales art in the Amazon is amazing.
Yeah.
Cool.
A guest is offering me to sit. But
I don't know if he's sitting. You look pretty
No,
cool.
I'm
he's been sitting all the time.
He has no
pants
on.
Please cross your legs when you sit.
What's the first question, Booth Bag?
What comic book would make the most awesome video game?
Oh, that's for me.
I'm guessing.
I think that Space Batman would be awesome. The really well-dressed Punisher would be awesome. Punisher goes shopping like those Barbie video games. It could be an MMO, that's right. A Man-Bat fucking video game. I bet Man-Bat's gotta be in some.
Wait, a Man-Bat fucking video game?
Fucks, yeah. But they have to be human women, he's fucking. It's his fetish. I mean, he's
pretty fucking. They have, like, a bunch of those.
No, but
okay. I can update at Leisure Suit Larry. but with Man-Bat, it's even harder for him to get laid, you know? You gotta hit the A button, like, 100
yeah,
times.
Exactly. It's really annoying, because when you finally get
I just want to see his dick.
I gotta go.
You ask a question.
These aren't mine. These perverts.
Yeah, you guys are the perverts.
There have been very few good comic book video games. That's a weird thing. Does the new Batman
come
out?
No, the X-Men arcade game is fantastic.
X-Men arcade game is good.
Yeah. Arcade game.
Yes.
But the Mortal Kombat DC is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's great.
I love the fucking narrative hoops that they have to jump through.
Yeah.
Scorpion and Batman in the same room.
Yeah.
I love how many
story
books. Oh, did he write it?
Yeah.
Oh. He's not here. There's going to be a Watchmen video game.
There is a Watchmen.
But it's a downloadable thing.
It's terrible.
And it's bad. Isn't it like a prequel?
Isn't it based, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's actually based on a paper role-playing game that Alan Moore wrote.
Well, it was mostly Dave Gibbons, and it was in canon. The video game is supposed to be in canon.
Yeah,
because
Night Owl and Rorschach doing whatever they
do. It's
did.
Just a fighting game. It's like the
it's terrible.
X-Men game, but I've heard it's bad. I haven't played it.
It's really bad.
There's a new Batman game coming out.
The Arkham Asylum game.
Yeah, it's just tough. It's weird. You think that it would be easier to bring them together because both video games and superheroes are about defying physics.
Right.
But for some reason, they get very caught up in the physics of how the superheroes work, and that's always the problem.
Spider-Man was good. There's a Hulk game, Ultimate Destruction, that's really good.
Oh, my nephew rocked that game for like a year.
Because
he could wreck shit. You know, throw a person
Ultimate into Spider-Man was not terrible. It got kind of tedious.
But it's better in terms of how you can play it as opposed to the story.
Sure.
Yeah.
The Genesis Spider-Man game was good. If anyone played that, that was a good game.
Yeah.
One of the worst, the Superman Nintendo 64 game is one of the worst. Superman had to fly through like rings to get points, and it's not explained in the story at all.
Yeah.
It's like there are rings floating around the city. Superman, fly through. It's not a good use of your time and powers, right?
If you ask that question, raise your hand. Pete's going to bring you a special present, and let's get the next question.
Watchmen graphic novel better than the movie?
Wow.
Yes.
Ballsy question.
Before I answer that, I want to know who asked it.
Yeah. Uh-oh, I feel a third fight coming.
I don't know you.
It's me, Alan Moore.
That's how I imagine he talks.
Alan Moore lives underneath the chairs here.
He's right under
Is that one?
Oh my god, he was under us the whole time.
Yeah.
What do you guys think?
This is an easy question, right? Well, I don't know, and obviously I think we would all say the graphic novels, but I will say that the end that they made up for the movie I thought worked.
It does work, although I still prefer the...
Definitely, but there's no way they could have made that work.
in that movie that they made.
Oh, I agree.
Oh, what are you talking about?
No, there's this guy right up here with his hand up.
Do you
this
know
guy,
everyone?
Yeah. No, this is the only way you get people to see me. And that guy, got so mad. He's a shrink. Okay, but just be really clear. He goes, this movie is goddamn Superman 4. And he went home.
Wow.
He went home.
The problem with the ending is the
fact that... this is a free and open space.
Here's the... Oh, I have a
it's a safe space.
The problem with the ending is, like, let's, like, put this in a real-world situation right now.
Let's lay down. We had outside
situation like 9/11, where we have this completely kind of unaffiliated political...
Way to bring it down.
Let it up.
Mood killer.
Yeah, then, like, it was like, okay, like, all right... He had this outside force, and the world has to mobilize this outside force.
Right.
But you have Dr. Manhattan, who's been an agent of the United States for 30-plus years.
Agreed.
You guys should
it's like, is anyone going to buy that just because, like, in this paranoid world that we're supposed to be living in, post-Watchmen, that just because, like, Dr. Manhattan, like, nuked New York, but nowhere else, that it wasn't, like, an American plot?
I 100% agree with you, and this is exactly my problem with the ending, and I don't think why it doesn't hold up to scrutiny. Is if you think about it, it's like American nukes. Even if we accidentally, you know, blew up New York City with our own nukes, and then a bunch of other cities around the world, people wouldn't be like, "Oh my God, America, are you okay? Let's all work together." They'd be like, "Fuck you for blowing up our cities," and then declare war and destroy the rest of our country. Absolutely.
And the part about Watchmen is the fact that, like, the alien is out of reach, and Dr. Manhattan is still in reach.
This is my every Monday night.
No, but he's gone, right?
Yeah,
Dr. Manhattan's gone.
But it's like,
he's on
the idea is still, like, within the world. Like, is he there? Is he not there? It's, again, he's an American agent in that. And the whole idea behind having the squid. Like, not that I'm, like, that wedded to the squid. Like, I'm not. Like, I don't care about
him. Real squid fanatic over here.
squid fanatic. But the idea is the squid is a completely external factor and not somebody who's, like...
See, I think they were banking... And the problem with the movie in general is that it didn't get in the ideas, so there was no point of view on it, and so why we could think this is wrong, this is right. But I think what they were going for is that once he gave up on Earth and was on Mars, the whole world was like, all right, now we can get America. He's given up on them. And so when he then comes back and blows up a bunch of cities, then it's like, oh man, he's an overlord, and we don't know where he is or if he'll ever come back. We have to figure this out so that we can use him as an enemy.
Yeah, he became the external fear.
Yeah.
But the only thing is you have to accept that in a paranoid world, like, they're accepting at face value that Dr. Manhattan has actually left. And the only reason you know that is because we have the point of view of omniscient, where we have, like, access to all the information.
But once you blow up all the cities,
access to all that information.
Yeah,
guys, your hour is up.
I'll leave my money on the couch.
No, these are very good points. We do need to move on. If you asked that question, raise your hand. Peace can bring your present. Let's get the next question.
The next question is: who is better looking, Rick Remender or Brian K. Vaughan?
Oh.
Who asked that? Rick Remender or Brian K. Vaughan?
Yeah. If we hear a door slam, we know we've given the wrong answer.
I mean, they're equally attractive and they look great in jeans.
Wow.
Is that the Wolverine trench coat?
Yeah.
Brian K. Vaughan knows what happens on Lost. Big up.
So he knows what... Oh, he's one of the writers?
He's a writer and producer.
Has he been on this show?
He's produced a bunch of episodes this season.
We'd love to have him.
I mean, we talked about it. Like,
yeah, we could get him.
Yeah,
you just don't want. He's too busy, Lost. He doesn't even do comics anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't have time for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Anyway, Rick Remender, definitely.
Yeah, nice.
No, Brian K. Vaughan's a natty dresser.
Natty?
Oof.
What?
What does that mean?
Why are you?
He's well dressed.
I thought that meant the opposite.
Yeah. Like, full of
dress.
I thought
that meant bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Not like a naughty
dresser.
Not you can't
like,
use these
British
words
on our
show.
When Brian and I talk, PKB and I, we always use words like that.
It sounds intimate.
Yeah. Speaking British.
Yeah. Bollocks.
Etc. Cool. If you ask that question, raise your hand. Peace can bring a gift. That's it for your audience question. Thank you. All right. We are going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the Week in Geek.
Woo!
Nice. guys. Thanks, Justin. First thing we were going to talk about was Watchmen, but we already talked about it.
Yeah, there's plenty to talk about.
What are you going
to
say about it?
We were going to talk about it has had a rather precipitous fall-off box office-wise in the second week. Do you think this says anything about the movie, the public's reaction, the superhero movies in general?
I think I knew The Watchmen when I first saw the preview in a theater. There was so much confusion. People, if you don't know The Watchmen, there's so many new characters. It's like literally like 20 new superheroes. So I think only people who were into the book when saw it, it didn't like grab everyone else.
Yeah. The marketing is not appealing to anybody beyond us. So, for example, my mom and dad have zero interest in that movie because, you know, why would you not? No, not you. You are my mom. No, you got to stop taking that as some insult. And but I think the problem is they marketed it in a certain way that I think limited it to, you know. And what's scary is the movie's going to make over $100 million. It's still going to be considered failure.
Well, I just think all the reviews came out and they were all bad.
No, they weren't all bad. They weren't.
A lot of them were bad.
But I think the problem
was like
one
out of two.
I think the problem is the movie, I was talking about this earlier, is the movie is a very respectful series of scenes adapted from a graphic novel.
It doesn't feel like a story. It doesn't feel like a movie. Yeah.
It's just like, we took these scenes from the graphic novel and adapted them and sort of went through it. And, you know, maybe there's this 3-hour-plus version, but tonally it's inconsistent.
There are no ideas in it.
But I can't get angry at it simply because I just feel like they respected the material. But I think they're also, the contrast is, you're a slave to the material.
Yeah.
And
well, he extended the sex scene.
Well, which looked like,
oh, yeah.
Looked like his terrible Cinemax.
Oh yeah,
you know,
as I said before, most sex scenes are in a movies are like, oh, these characters are having sex. They're either in love or they hate each other and they're having sex anyway. And this it was like, oh, they're having sex. Oh, they're having slightly faster sex. Oh, he's even waiting faster.
Yeah.
Oh my God, she's coming. There's his ex. She's wetting his hair around. What's happening?
It doesn't add anything to the story. Because the problem is they've lost the intention of why he was having sex with her.
They replaced it with two breasts.
Right.
I thought that was the best part of the movie.
Yeah.
No arguments with that.
Yeah. That really held up for me.
We're now going to move on to our next topic, which is casting for Marvel movies. Pretty exciting stuff.
Nice screen grab.
If they look like this in the Marvel movies, it'd be $100 million to me.
Well, here's the thing. Natalie Portman may be in Thor. And,
as who?
We don't know yet.
If she's Odin, I'm there.
Yeah, and Scarlett Johansson is definitely going to be Black Widow in Iron Man 2, which is awesome.
Ooh.
Because Eric Bana was in the first Hulk movie, so they've gotten the other Berlin girl trifecta.
Yeah. True. What the Venn diagram of fans of those movies is just you.
Well, there's got to be one out of a billion.
Is Black Widow good or bad?
Depends on the
cat
story.
Catwoman.
Well,
oh,
like,
great!
Yeah. It's like a real Black Widow. Like, oh, this is kind of cool. Oh, it's biting me.
The problem is I'm going to look at that Black Widow, the Iron Man movie, and look at her as Black Widow, and I just think she's wrong for it. Emily Blunt was so perfect for it.
Let's not trash Scarlett Johansson.
Hey, I did a movie with Scarlett Johansson. She's a wonderful girl, but it's just, there were better choices for Black Widow, and, you know, I mean, it's not
like
Emily Blunt's.
Emily Blunt, but
she can't do it because Fox pulled that
contract. Think there would be, beyond Emily Blunt, a better choice than Scarlett Johansson?
I'd have to think about it, but I mean, I just feel like it's an obvious choice. It's like movie star.
Apparently, that sells more movies.
Not
sells
movies. Thank you. Some of you got that.
He'll be the industry.
And what about Natalie Portman and Thor? Since they haven't said who she should be beyond Thor, what do you think
she's not a warrior.
If she's Loki,
Loki.
It's great.
Are they going with
the female
role?
No.
They've been talking about
Josh
Hartnett.
As Loki?
Yeah.
What a trickster he is.
Yeah, he's like the most vapid looking guy in the room.
He's got those just making
them. Yeah. Actually, I don't hate that idea if he can pull it off because Loki's a douchebag.
You think he's just going to be... Like, everyone else is going to be in all this period clothing.
Yeah,
he's going to be in like an Abercrombie sweater.
Yeah, he's
got
like a backwards baseball cap.
I'm a movie star.
And
Josh
in that case, use Ashton Kutcher.
It's really who you're going to cast as Thor. That's, I mean, that's really...
Got to be an unknown. Got to be a guy that looks the part rather than an actor. They're going to be like, just gain a couple pounds of muscle.
Yeah, no,
somebody who's like blonde, like blonde hair.
Good.
Somebody who's like, you know, like a little beefy.
Alexander Sarsgaard.
Charlie Hunnam. Beard. Great.
Are you talking?
I don't know.
Is that the hammer?
Yeah.
We've
been working on his audition.
Yeah.
Too.
He could be the next
cool.
cover after that astonishing
guy. Yeah, yeah.
It's gonna be me or Vin Diesel. We were.
I would actually rather have you.
Cool. So let's look forward to that. And that's it for the week in Geek. All right, it is time for trivia. And for now, we're going to turn over to Mr. Pete LePage.
All right.
The part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. Thank you so much for showing up. We appreciate it. This is an opportunity to win $25 free in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. Who would like a chance to win $25 free? Simply raise your hand. First hand up. Wait. No, you were first hand up,
guy.
All right. Come on down. What's your name?
Chris.
Audience, Chris.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, everybody.
Is that a Stuckey's t-shirt?
Yes, it is.
Nice.
Yeah, actually, there's still like 5 left in Indiana.
Great. I'm a big fan. All right, so this could possibly be yours. So how this is going to work is today's trivia is on the spirit.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
didn't see it, sorry.
No, not the movie.
Okay.
Not the movie.
Oh.
And how this is going to work is I'm going to read you the question, listen to all 3 possible answers.
Okay.
Pick the correct one, go 3 for 3, $25 free yours.
This pressure's right, on.
Here we go, Chris. Thank you, Boothman. The spirit's real name or alter ego is A, Will Eisner, B, Denny Colt, or C, Eliza Dushku.
C!
I'm gonna have to go with B.
B is correct! I didn't even have to help him.
Yeah, well.
What?
Good question.
What commissioner is an old friend of the spirit? Is it A, Commissioner Gordon, B, Commissioner Dolan, or C, Michael Chiklis as the commissioner? There could be a trend. Like the first answer
I'm gonna
was
have
B.
To say B again.
Correct. Okay, here we go. Last one's always the hardest. What is the spirit's superpower? Is it A, flight, B, X-ray vision, or C, athleticism?
C?
Correct! Yeah! Woo! 3 for 3, $25,
right.
Enjoy!
Yeah!
As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
Man, blanking. Dog, something, dog.
Bad dog.
Yeah. I'm not just making that up.
Yeah, it's number 2, right?
Yeah, issue number 2. First issue was fantastic.
By your buddy Joe Kelly.
Joe Kelly's created a fantastic world, and I'm enjoying living in it.
I'm looking forward to X Factor number 41, which
yes.
This is the third. Yes. Peter David said that the next 3 issues are going to be huge reveals in every issue. This is the third one. So I'm excited about that. Also,
it's only one. You can only say one comic.
Oh, really? Watchmench comes out. Wonder what that's going to be like.
Nice. Star Trek Countdown number 3. I was not that crazy about the first issue, but I've
heard.
No,
it's awesome.
I've heard good things about the second issue, so I'm going to go back and pick up both issue 2 and 3 at the end. Come out.
I've been looking forward to. He's been waiting so long. Finally, my mommy is in America, and she meant Buffalo Bill comes out this week.
Woo!
And
actually, that is supposed to be excellent.
Okay, good.
So that's an undercut
sorry,
your choice.
I meant Tears of a Lamb. For Tears of a Lamb to come out. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, it's a gripping look at like the Iraq War.
Jesus.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
Well, why don't you plug something that you have coming up?
Oh, me?
Yeah.
Oh, next Saturday, midnight at the UCB, I have the video game show, and hopefully these guys will be able to make it.
Nice.
We'll look for sure tomorrow. And, next Saturday, March 28th at the UCB at midnight.
Awesome. Check that out.
Nice.
Ooh, cool. FJ, what are you looking forward to?
Tiny Titans.
Yes.
Yeah!
Better than anything Jed Winnick can ever write.
Wow, really taking a beating today.
No, I have to agree with you on the Star Trek content. If I really look at everything, I thought that series was phenomenal. Yeah. And I did a Star Trek manga for Tokyo Pop that's coming out next month, and just to play in that universe is awesome. And having done it, it's a struggle to try and do anything that's really cool and exciting. And I just think Countdown really
is it Kirk and Spock and everyone?
No,
or
what
is it
I
the
did
new
is
movie?
Not the series he's talking about, Countdown, is the prequel to the new movie. So it explains Spock at, you know, 900 years old going, oh, I gotta fix shit. That's really
but you know, exciting.
But good.
Plug something that you have coming out. You have the Star Trek
manga. The Star Trek manga is next month in April, and then the second issue of the Spirit, I think, has been. It was supposed to be this month. I think it's next month. So there's a couple issues after that. And,
Spirit on DVD next month?
Oh, Spirit on DVD next So, yeah, the Spirit's on DVD next month.
Checking that out.
Well, yes, maybe somebody will watch it. And
You've convinced me. I'm going to check it out.
Look, I love them.
It did okay at the box office.
No.
Thank you, Internet.
Is that one of our
A little bit of housekeeping before we go very quickly. Next week on the show, we're going to have a little bit of a Spider-Man summit. Steve Wacker, the editor of Amazing Spider-Man, is going to be on the show. Also, Mark Wade for the first time around. We'll have like an editor fight or something like that. That'll be cool. Also, you can check us out almost every day of the week at youtube.com/comicbookclub. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Kamel for being on the show. Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends good night.
Thank you.